is our appointments with Almighty God. Our appointments with Almighty God. I invite your attention tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse number 27. That will be our text verse. God's appointments with us are our appointments with God. And I want you to think about them. I think when you see the reading in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, you'll know where we're headed with this outline. But I would say to you that I have used this a lot in preaching, but I've used it a lot at funerals too and things of that nature. And this is a very sobering passage of Scripture. This is a very thought-provoking passage of Scripture. This is one that kind of wakes you up and makes you stop and pay attention to what's being said. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let's pray. Father, tonight we're thankful to be in your house. We're thankful for what our hearts have experienced this week, what our minds have learned, what our eyes have seen. We thank you for a wonderful week of fellowship and food and preaching and singing and all of the things that go in the service of Sunday school lessons. Thank you for the good time that we've had with all these wonderful people. And I pray tonight that you'll be with us in a very special way. I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict those that are unsaved. And I pray that tonight, before we leave this place, we'll be rejoicing with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents. I pray now that you would forgive me of my sins, and I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit and give me liberty to say those things that you'd have to be said. But most of all, I pray that your word might find lodgment, might minister to the hearts of men and boys, women and girls. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place tonight, we can leave rejoicing and praising God and thanking God for the opportunity to be in His house once again to worship Him, the true and the living God. We pray now that you would be with us in a special way. Again, we ask, for it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all, and amen. The Bible is very specific, and as you read the Bible, and you come to these words in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We're talking about appointments. Everybody makes appointments. Some people are on time for appointments. Some people are late for appointments. Some people don't take appointments necessarily serious. But there are some appointments with God that we better take serious. And God will make us be at our appointments on time, on His time clock. Now, I did a study, and I went back and I looked at 10 of the deadliest disasters in the last 100 years. And I won't have time to read all these, but just a few of these. One of them was in 1991 in Bangladesh. A cyclone killed 140,000 people. 10 million were left homeless, and 150-mile-an-hour winds and rains that they had. In 2008, there was a cyclone, and Nargis had hit Burma. There were 140,000 deaths there. Also, 132-mile-an-hour winds, and 3 million people were left homeless. In 2004, the Indian Ocean tsunami, and that's something that we're aware of now because of what just happened in Japan recently. But in 2004, the Indian Ocean tsunami, there were 230,000 deaths. That started near Indonesia, an island of Sumatra. A 9.0 magnitude, termed as an energy equal to 23,000 Hiroshima-type atomic bombs. It smashed the coastline of 11 nations on the Indian Ocean. Very devastating, very disastrous. In 2010, in Haiti, there was an earthquake and 316,000 people died. A 7.0 magnitude and 4,000 cholera deaths later that year. Back in the 1970s, in Bola, there was a cyclone that 500,000 people died. Now, we forget about this, and maybe we've not read about this and thought about this in a long time. But that was in East Pakistan. The winds were 115 miles an hour. You know who controls the winds? God does. You know who controls the sea? God does. But these things happened. 1976, in China, there was an earthquake. 655,000 people died. I don't remember all these things. July the 28th, 1976, the deadliest earthquake of 7.5 magnitude in the last century, in the last 100 years. In 1931, in the China floods, there were 3.7 million that died. 3.7 million. The Yangtze River, as well as the other rivers, peaked and drove hundreds of thousands from their homes, destroyed rice crops, spread typhoid and dysentery, worst natural disaster in the past 100 years. These disasters kill people. Livestock, they destroy homes, workplaces, land, crops, and so forth. And that's not near all of the things that happen. So death is a reality. We might as well admit that death is a reality. If you turn back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 5, in Genesis chapter 5, we see this in the Word of God. And I want you to hold your place there for just a moment. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Now notice what he says. And he died. In verse number 8 of chapter 5 of Genesis, it said all the days of Seth were 912 years. Notice what it says. And he died. In verse number 11, it said, and all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. Verse 14, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. In verse 17, it says, and all the days of Mahaliel were 895 years. And he died. In verse number 20, it says, and all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. In verse 27, it says, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. Verse 31, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. Now the Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So, if the Lord doesn't take us on the cloud route in the rapture, we're all going to die. In the Bible, down through the years, no matter how long they lived, it says, and he died, and she died, and they died, and they died. And so it's a fact of life that if the Lord doesn't rapture us out of here, we're going to die. So if we're saved, we're going to heaven either by the cloud route or the clod route, someone has said, because we'll be buried. And you know what? When we're buried, we're a child of God and we're buried in this life. You know what that is? That's not a cemetery. It's not a graveyard. It's a resurrection ground. That's what it is. Today, Orville Marie took us out to the cemetery and we saw their monument out there, their marker, and others. Now, some of them have died. Of course, they're still alive. They're still right here. But I will tell you, one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to die. And you know what? A lot of us are closer to death than we are to our birth. We've traveled this road. We have an appointment with God in death. Now, the wonderful thing is, if you die in the Lord, your spirit immediately goes to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. But most people today are allergic to death. They don't like to talk about death. Hey, I'm a young person. I'm going to live. I want to live life. I want to enjoy life. I'm going to live. But when it's God's time, when it's God's appointment for us to die, we're going to die. That could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. You know, in the Bible it says we don't have a hope or promise of tomorrow because our life's like a vapor, and we should say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. Because we don't know. All of us are going to die. I mentioned in a sermon maybe this morning that I preached the funerals of babies. Babies. Little white styrofoam caskets. Babies die. I preached the funeral of teenagers. Teenagers die. I preached the funeral of young adults. Young adults sometimes die. They showed us today out there a young lady that was in a car wreck, I think, with Jason Lawson. And she died. So we don't know when our appointment with death is. So that's why we need to be prepared to meet God. We need to repent of our sins and by faith receive Christ as our Savior. So when our appointment with death comes, and it's going to come, we're ready to meet God. Great wealth will not enable you to avoid this appointment with death. We read about people like Ford, who invented the Ford car, of course, Rockefeller, J. Paul Getty, and nothing that they had, no money they had, no wealth they had, could keep them from dying. Great piety will not enable you to escape death. Abraham, Isaiah, John, Paul, Peter, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, all of them have died. You see, the Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die. We have an appointment. You're not going to be late for that appointment. You're not going to be late for that appointment. You're going to be right on time. Great political power will not enable you to avoid death either. There have been men like, and you may like them or not like them, but George Washington, the first president of the United States of America. Abraham Lincoln, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, Ronald Reagan. They all died. You see, there's nothing that can keep you from dying. You might have the best doctors. You might have the best medicine. But when God's appointment for us to die is, we're going to die. It's in the Word of God. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. So we have an appointment from God when it's our time to die. Some people live to be 50. Some live to be 75. Some live even to be 100. My dad was almost 88 years old when he died. But he died. He could not escape it. It was there. It was his appointment. It was his time. And let me tell you this. As a saved man, as a child of God, my dad said, I'm ready to go. How many people have you visited in the hospital or hospice or whatever, and they're a child of God, and they've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, and they say, I'm ready to go. You know what? I know I don't look it, but I'm almost 65 years old. Almost. I know I don't look at it. I know I just stunned the whole crowd right here, right? But I tell you this, the older that you get in this life, I think the more you say, Lord, I've had a good life. You've been good to me. You have blessed me. And if it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. Now, I like living. I enjoy it. I've enjoyed this week. I enjoyed the fellowship. I enjoy the food. I enjoy staying with folks. My wife and I, we have a great time here. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be better up there. When we die in Christ, immediately our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. Why wouldn't everybody want to be a child of God? Why wouldn't everybody want to meet death knowing Christ as your personal Savior? Secondly, our appointment with God in judgment. You see, the Bible says no. It says, and it's appointed unto men once to die. That's not over. That's not the end of it. That's not as far as it goes. There's judgment. Every one will give account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. Every one of us will give account of ourselves to God. Romans chapter 2, let's turn over there if you would. Romans chapter 2, let's look at this just a moment. Judgment, standing before God, no excuses, no words that we can say, no explanation that we can make. The Bible says, but we are sure, in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. It'll be according to truth, the Word of God. It is truth, the whole truth. And someone has said, and nothing but the truth. And this life, we try to hide what we do from the preacher. We don't want the preacher to know what we're doing that's not right and that God would be displeased with, and we know the preacher would not be happy with us about. We may try to hide from our parents and say, listen, I'll do it, but I don't want my parents to find out. We got to keep all this secret and dark, whatever. But I want to tell you something. God has an all-seeing eye. I've got a sermon about that. God has an all-seeing eye. And He knows everything about every one of us at every moment of our lives. And we're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before God and be accountable to God and God alone. Now, you know, I told you I didn't fear death, but judgment, now that's a little bit different thing. Stand before God and you can't say, well, the preacher said it's all right to do it, or the deacon said it's all right to do it, or mom and dad said they didn't see anything wrong with it. My friends and... Oh, no, no. When you stand before God, it's just you and God. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. You young people, do you ever stand before your parents and think, man, I'm before the judge. Judge and jury right there, and I'm convicted and I'm going to pay the penalty. But the wonderful thing is, when we're a child of God, God forgives us of our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Now, he wants us to repent and ask for forgiveness. I understand that. But he paid our price at Calvary. The song said, as we preached about this morning, as well with my soul, he paid for our sin, not in part, but the whole. He went to Calvary for us. And so as we think about that today, look at the judgment of God will be to every man according to his deeds in verse number 6. It says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Look at verse number 11. It says, for there is no respect of persons with God. You know, sometimes I say, well, if you know the judge or you know the mayor or something, you get by. Or if you know the police officer, you get by. No, God is no respecter of persons. He holds us all accountable for our words and for our deeds. In verse number 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, folks, that's serious business, isn't it? I've been in the courtroom. I've never been on trial. I've never been on a jury. But I've been in the courtroom. And I've watched the judge up there, and I've watched the people that went before him. And sometimes I was a character witness for some people. And I want to tell you, in a court of law, I mean, that's serious business. There's no laughing it off. There's no sloughing it off. There's no saying, oh, I don't care what the judge says. No, when you're in the courtroom, boy, I'm going to tell you, everything's quiet. And the judge has that gavel, and I mean, he hits that thing if there's disorder or anything like that, and he's in charge of the courtroom. And I know some judges personally, and they don't put up with any foolishness. You stand before them. You know how serious it is. Especially if you're the one that's on trial, or you're the one that's going before the judge, you know how serious that is. But it's nothing like the judge that we'll face, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing like that. You talk about serious of all serious times, that'll be a serious time. So we have an appointment with the Lord. We have an appointment in death, and we have an appointment in judgment. Acts chapter 17, verse number 31. Acts chapter 17, verse number 31. Notice what it says here. In Acts 17 and verse number 31, it says this, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. The judge and the time has been set. We'll stand before God and give account of ourselves to him. As you think about that today, does that sober you? Does that make you stop and think, listen, this is serious business. God is not playing a game. You know, I find so many Christians today that they think that living a Christian life and going to church, it's all just a big game and we can just kind of play it like we want to. And we can kind of do what we want to and nothing's ever going to happen to us. God has a way of reining us in. The Bible says those whom he loves, he chastens. Be time. Have you ever been chastened of the Lord? That will let you know that you're a child of God. Those whom he loves, he chastens. We talked about that in Psalm 73 where it seemed like all the wicked prosper and they just seem to make money and they seem to have the high life. And we're here, we're suffering here and we're sacrificing and we're trying to do our best and it seemed like we're dealing with all kinds of things until I went into the sanctuary, till I understood their end. And God is not playing a game, folks. He's not playing a game with our lives. And you can profess to know Christ, and if you're not saved, when you die, you'll burn in hell forever. That's the way it is. That's what the Bible says. Now, I will tell you something. That's serious business. I was talking to Brother Brian a while ago at supper, and he was talking about the time he was saved. And he said, boy, the Lord really convicted me. And he said, I knew for sure that if I died in that condition as a lost person, I'd die and go to hell. That's what I came to. You have to realize you're a sinner. You have to realize you can't save yourself. You have to realize, hey, this is serious business. We're not playing a game. We're not just talking about a fairy tale here. This is serious business. The Bible says, and it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. That's two appointments. Now the last appointment is this. Some of us will meet this appointment. If we're a child of God, we've met this appointment. The appointment at Calvary. If we're one of his sheep, We've met that appointment. We've been there at that appointment, as we was talking about. If we're one of the elect, we know that our appointment with God at Calvary has already taken place. But tonight, if you're unsaved, you haven't been to that place called Calvary. You haven't really known what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. This is a must for salvation, eternal life, the abundant life, the heavenly home that God has in store for us. John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know it, right? For God so loved the world. Now that's not without exception, but without distinction. Men and women, boys and girls, poor, rich, whatever, God is in the saving business. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, I was at the appointment that God had for me. You know, I was there. I can't tell you the hour of the night. I know it was after church on Sunday night. I can't even tell you the date. I'm not sure about the month. But I know that I was there at the appointment at God's appointed time when the Holy Spirit of God, I mean, He was on me. And I'm telling you, I felt so much pressure. And I felt like that if I died at that very minute, I was going to go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever. Now, I want to tell you, we've had a lot of cool weather. We had a lot of rain in our area and your area too. But lately, we've had a lot of hot weather. And you know how we react to hot weather? Whew, man, it is hot. Turn that air conditioner on. Let's get out of this heat. We tried to get Orville, he's my chauffeur, and we tried to get him to turn the air conditioning on, get the car cooled off. No, he made us burn like the rest, like he was. And we'd get out of the car to come to church. Man, it was hot. We couldn't wait to get in here. Felt like a refrigerator. You know, come in here. Man, it felt good. There's not going to be any relief in hell. There's not going to be any cool days in hell. Not going to be any rain in hell to cool. Not going to be even a drop of water to cool your tongue, as the rich man said. There's not going to be that in hell. And the sad part is that people that die without Christ are going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. Now I want to tell you something. I'm not happy about that. And that's why I'm going to witness to everybody, everywhere that I can. I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ and His power to save. I don't want my friends to go to hell. I don't want my family to go to hell. I don't want people that I've acquainted with to go to hell. I don't want people that I've worked in the shops with over the years. I don't want them to go to hell. I used to witness when I worked in a shop where we built prefabricated homes. And these men would kind of make fun of me and laugh, you know, when they was in a group. But then they'd get by themselves. And they'd say, "Hey, Rev, would you tell me about that salvation business?" I said, "Benny, Christ died at Calvary for sinners like us. And one day, I realized I was lost. I realized I was doomed to devil's hell. And I received Christ. I repented and asked God to forgive me. I received Christ as my personal Savior." He listened, but he wasn't saved. Old Jimmy, he came by and he said, "Hey, little Rev," he said, "tell me about that Jesus thing again." And I'd tell him again. He wasn't saved. And after I was out of the shop and I was preaching, I was pastoring, I was out with Larry Puckett one day and we was out visiting. And I ran into Benny. He was a little black guy. About this, he was shorter than me. Boy, I felt so good around him. And I said, "Benny, what's going on?" He said, "Rev, I done been saved." I said, "Did you get eternal salvation?" He said, "That's the only kind there is." Jimmy, he was a big black guy. He knew I loved him and I prayed for him. I said, I saw Jimmy later. Larry was with me again. He just hangs around me. I don't know what the problem is. I said, "Jimmy, tell me, have you been saved?" He said, "Yeah, Rev, I've been saved." I said, "You get that eternal salvation?" He said, "That's the only kind there is." You know what? I didn't save them. I didn't make an impact that changed their whole lives. But there was a day when that message, God revealed it and opened their eyes and their ears and their heart to understand, and God saved them. And so when I see them, they can't wait. They want to tell me what God has done in their life. Listen, don't get discouraged about witnessing to people. Don't get give up on witnessing people. It may be your family. It may be your friends. It may be your children. Don't give up on them. You just keep being a witness. Don't cram it down their throat. You just tell them, hey, man, this is a great life the Lord has given me. Our appointment with death, our appointment with judgment, and our appointment at Calvary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 21. Second Corinthians. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did it all. He did it all. He paid the supreme sacrifice. You know, when the military people go to war for us and fight for our freedoms, man, I appreciate that. I see military men in the airport. I see them in the church services. I see them overseas. I see them everywhere. I go up and I thank them. I try my best to go up and thank them. And one day we was in the airport and this military family was in there and the guy was fit to be shipped off to Iraq or Afghanistan. And I went up there and I said, listen, I want to buy whatever he wants to eat. Whatever his family wants to eat. And the people at the counter, they said, you'd have to get in line. There's already been five or six people wanting to buy their stuff. Man, I appreciate that, don't you? I appreciate our military men and women, our EMTs. I appreciate our policemen, our firemen. I appreciate people that protect us. I appreciate those that have died for the freedoms we have today. And all of those people, you could put all of them together over all the wars that we've had, and none of them have ever done for us what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. He went to Calvary. He knew I was a sinner. He knew that I was doomed to the devil's hell. He knew I deserved hell. And he said, I'm going to Calvary. And I'm going to die willingly. They're not going to have to drag me. They're not going to have to do what all they're going to do, but it's going to make them, you know, feel like they're really taking advantage of me. And I'm going to go willingly to that cross of Calvary. And I'm going to die for people like Dennis Riddick. I'm going to die for people like that. You know what? Sometimes there are some things that we think we deserve, but we still feel pretty good when people recognize it. But have you ever known, other than the cross and the Christ of Calvary, have you ever known that people have done things for you that you didn't deserve? That's even more special. But you think about how much God loved us in that He sent His only begotten Son, without spot and without blemish, a precious lamb to die at Calvary in my place and in your place if you're saved. So we have an appointment with death. We're all going to meet it. We have an appointment with judgment. We're all going to face it. And I pray that you'll have an appointment at Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that can ever happen in your life. Just to say, Lord, the Lord already knows we're a sinner. Just to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I want to be saved. I will tell you, the night I was saved, I wanted to be saved. I wanted out from underneath that load. I wanted out from underneath that strain. I wanted out from underneath that guilt that I just couldn't get away from. My dad was the preacher. And I went to church with the preacher, ate with the preacher, and went home with the preacher. And the preacher's wife was my mother. And every night, they would pray for their two boys that God would save them. And every day, I could hear them when they had their prayer time and they'd pray for their boys that they'd be saved. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I just thought, man, I just don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I just want to stay away. I don't want to feel this way. But the night I was saved, God fixed my want to. And I wanted to be saved. And I wanted to go to church. And I wanted to be baptized. And I wanted to participate in service. I wanted to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." But before I was saved, I couldn't do that. I wanted to sing songs like, I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. But I couldn't do that before I was saved. I wanted to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I would move my mouth, say the words, but I didn't have salvation. And so I was just saying words. Then after I was saved, the Lord saved me. I could sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see, and it was real in my life. It was real to me. I could rejoice in that, and I didn't get nervous every time they started to sing it, or if they have an invitational hymn, and just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come and come. Man, I'll tell you, didn't bother me anymore like it used to. And there was such a peace that passeth all understanding, such a joy, such a warmth in knowing that God had saved me and God loved me and God would keep me saved. So in conclusion tonight, the question is, are you prepared for death? Are you prepared for judgment? Are you prepared to meet God? Amos said in Amos chapter 4, verse number 12, said to the children of Israel, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. When I preach funerals, it's too late for those people to prepare. I remember when God was calling me to preach, and I thought one of the things that I dreaded the most was to preach a funeral. And I remember we had lost our child. My wife almost died, and our little girl died, childbirth. And my dad was out of town, and you know the first funeral I had was a family in our church. Their little girl was stillborn. And they called and they said, we need you to preach the funeral. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I think every bit of blood I had in me just drained, and I was pale as a ghost. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I can do this. What would I say? What would I